Welcome back to the Remarkably Me podcast. I'm your host, Anika Apple. I have with me a very special guest, a soul sister of mine, wellness coach, Myra Herring. And I just simply enjoy any time I get to spend with Myra. Today's episode is really special. It's called Finding the Beauty Within. And Myra takes us through her remarkable journey of unfolding the beauty within her, her purpose, and how she's bringing it to life to help other women to be successful in their journey. Myra is someone who believes really strongly in being. And what I love about her is that she really exemplifies what we talk about in the podcast. That through the transformations that she's had in her own life, what has been revealed to her through her introspection and exploration is really how she transforms herself into being that. That she takes that which she's learned about herself, puts it into practice, and then is it. I think that we would say she walks it out, because that's exactly what I've seen her do, what I've witnessed in the time that we've been friends. There are a couple of really salient moments in this episode. I mean, this was, we were rocking from our hellos to each other. But Myra talks a little bit about the little girl on the inside of her and how that little girl knew exactly who she was before the world told her who she was. And oh, such a powerful moment. I think another moment that I love about the podcast is where we stop to really honor how Myra is embodying who God has shown her that she is. She talks about the journey of being able to really receive the gift of beauty that is who she is. And what she talked about is the discomfort with people giving her compliments about the physical appearance and her recognizing that that is indeed a gift that God has given her. And she says in her words, it was almost like I was rejecting the gift that God gave me. So powerful. So there's so many beautiful and poignant moments like this in the podcast, and I know you'll enjoy. In addition to her private practice, she has an upcoming program that you'll see identified in the show notes. Please follow her at her socials. You'll see those in the show notes as well. But most of all, give yourself a moment to really allow yourself to be engulfed in this wonderful conversation with me and my really good friend and soul sister, Coach Myra Herring. Enjoy the episode. Well, welcome to the Remarkably Me podcast. I have Myra Herring here with me today, and I'm so excited. Right before we started, I said, you ready, beauty? Because Myra is beauty. And that is why we have aptly named this episode the Beauty Within, Finding the Beauty Within. And I am so blessed to have Myra as a soul sister, an earth angel sister, as well as we work together, we collaborate on projects together. Yeah. And she just has become an integral part of my life. Yeah. So welcome, my friend, my sister. I'm so glad you're here.
Thank you, Anika. It's always a pleasure, especially being in your presence. And a lot of our collaboration has been, you know, virtual. Like we're on Zoom. But when I have the chance to actually just sit in your presence, it is such a gift.
I feel the same. Okay, so tell the audience a little bit about Myra is a wellness coach, among many, many, many other things. but tell them a little bit about what you do and your purpose and whatever you want them to know about you.
Yeah. So sometimes when people hear the word wellness, they think of fitness and nutrition and, you know, health and fitness. And when I think of wellness, I think of this holistic health, and I focus on the emotional, mental, and spiritual well-being of those that I work with, mainly women. And it's a journey to get out of this like socially conditioned life, which I call, you know, a thing that's not necessarily what is true to your heart's calling. And it's a return back to that spiritually led life of alignment. So I'm looking for a life of ease and flow feels good to me. And I want to help others live that life too. And that's what I found in my journey. And I'm so blessed to live it.
I love that. And
I can say, as somebody who has an opportunity to experience both what you do as well as witness it in your life, that you really have been on this journey of like, what does it feel like for me to have an aligned life? One of the things, and you know, we have the Healing Crusade, and you're a member of that, and I'm grateful to have you there. But we talk about active healing all the time. And I think that there is this misnomer that sometimes we have about people. It's like they have it all figured out. It's like, no, we're all on a journey. And we've made a decision to share both our gifting and our experiences as we go to help others. And I love that that is what you've based the foundation of your practice on. So
Absolutely.
share a little bit about what your healing journey has been. Let's get into the heart of the matter. Tell us about your healing story.
So I really went on this healing journey maybe over the last year and a half. And it's probably been longer than that if I'm honest. But when I really recognized it, I put words to it. And I actually talked about it with other people. So about a year and a half ago, I made a decision to end my marriage and live a life more in alignment with what I say is my heart's true calling. I left my job as well. And this was a career journey I had been on for quite some time. And I had actually found my identity and roots in it. Like I was really grounded in, I am this person. High achieving, all the way from a little girl, you know, I had identified with high achieving. I have this elite, you know, personality and identity, and I wanted a certain title, and I wanted to look a certain way to the world. And I was grounded in it, and it wasn't always true to what I felt in my heart. And I struggled with that for quite some time. Because I had lived it for so long and it wasn't a bad life. It wasn't a bad life. It was a good life that was keeping me from a great life. And that good
That
life,
part right
I'm
there,
telling you,
it was a
Anika,
good life, but it was keeping you from your great life. Come on.
And that's the struggle sometimes too, because you can be living a good life. And God is saying, there's more. I call you deeper still. Like that was something God whispered in my ear all the time, almost to the point where I was like, all right, God, I hear you, but I need you to stop. Because it was like, I know, and I know, and I know, but I am comfortable. Good is comfortable, right? Good can also be uncomfortable.
What's funny, because even as you say that, I think about like it's like, oh, I don't want to have to do that because that is painful. But we have just become conditioned to the pain that we're already in. That's the result of the misalignment. It's just become comfortable. It's like if we could remember, like, I didn't really want it to be just this. I thought it was going to be this, but it's just this. And so there was already pain in that gap. So now I've gotten comfortable. So that means I can take the leap to go after what I really want. And the discomfort that's there, it's going to be for a time, and then it'll be, then eventually I'll get comfortable, but I'll be where I
Where you
want
want to be,
to
where you want to be. You can either be discomfortable or uncomfortable in a place that's below what you know your potential is, where your potential lives. You're going to be uncomfortable there, or you can be uncomfortable for a small temporary amount of time getting to where God, you know, God has you. And I would rather do that small, short journey of discomfort than live in a place of discomfort because I'm always trying to, like, you know, make myself or normalize this position that is lower than what God's calling me to be.
And I know that's true because I've seen it. I've seen you do it. You did it. Like the shifts that you talked about earlier, and I hope the audience really heard that. You got a divorce, you changed your job, you became an entrepreneur. You didn't go to another corporation. You started your own business. And in order to do your business, you had to do self-exploration. I mean, my
All of
goodness.
it, all of it.
How'd you do it?
And it was, I realized the reason why I did it, and I did it at the same time. I don't know if that was clear in the answer, but I realized all of these pieces of me were connected. And so the identity I had grounded myself in my career and titles, and I have to be and operate this way, the identity I had grounded myself in being a Mrs., a wife, you know, a two income household of a husband and wife and living in a house, and all of those identities were connected in who I thought I was supposed to be. And that identity came from outside of me. It was externally defined.
That's a gem right there.
Listen, this externally defined image of who I thought I was supposed to be was so disconnected from the source that lives within me. And it was God that was telling me, the source that was in me was God's voice saying, I have more for you. Again, specifically, I call you deeper still. So how I did it was I made a decision. I made a decision, and it was almost, it got to the point where I didn't have a choice. I had reached burnout and didn't even realize I had reached burnout. And burnout to me looked like doing things that were completely out of character for who I was. And once that type of behavior became normal, I got to a point where I was like, all right, Myra, I don't even know who you are anymore.
Yeah.
I don't even know who
you're like,
are.
That compass is so foggy. I can't even tell where it's pointing.
Ooh, and when it becomes normal and you feel different, you've gotta come back to source. You gotta like run back to source.
Yeah.
I took a 2-week sabbatical. I went to my happy place, which is Arizona, and I spent time alone. God said, go be still. Go be still. I had to reconnect with source. And this for me was going out in nature. So for the 2 weeks I was in Arizona, I would go outside. And I was at an Airbnb, and it was this beautiful place. The Airbnb I rented was called the Zen Space, which was just, it was divine, of course. And I sat outside every morning and I listened to a meditation. It was a guided meditation, and it helped me reconnect. Just sitting still for any amount of time, I would recommend that to anyone. Just to hear your voice, to hear God's voice, to hear the source. I journaled a lot. I got back into journaling. That was something that I used to practice that I had forgotten or I had put to the side. I reconnected with journaling, and I prayed, and I saw a vision of who I wanted to be. And it was different than who I was currently operating as.
Wow.
And I mentioned, you know, my life was good. My husband, my ex-husband, there was nothing wrong with who this man was as a person and who he is as a person.
Sure.
It just wasn't my connection. It wasn't my person. It wasn't in alignment with who God was calling me to be. And that was the hardest part.
Yeah.
That was the hardest part, because on the outside it looked good and it was okay. And I could have lived and continued to live that life. But on the inside I was struggling, and it was almost a disservice to my ex-husband, because I wasn't showing up my full self. And so I was living this mediocre identity. I wasn't giving him the full person that I knew I could be. And I personally was unhappy. He may have been, and it wasn't fully honoring God. It wasn't fully honoring God. Yeah.
And, you know, I can identify, because very similarly, the same life changes happened in a year's time in my life and moving. And what's so interesting is that when you talk about like a disservice to your ex-husband, what I recognized post-divorce is how much in my own healing journey, how much of myself I was not showing up with. And some of the things that he used to say, like he'd be like, are you sure you're okay? And I'm like, I'm fine. And I wasn't fine.
Yes.
I was not fine, not at all.
Yes.
But what I didn't know, because I thought I was so good at masking it, I thought I was so good at the facade, I didn't know that it was leaking out.
Amika.
That he must have been experiencing this frustration, the angst, the disappointment, the hurt, all of the things that I was going through. Maybe he didn't experience it all, but imagine how painful that is for someone to love someone. And to want what's good for them, to not be able to give it to them because you know you can't really give it to somebody else, but then that they can't articulate to you, like you they're not articulating to you what they need, and you're like, well, how do I show up for you?
Yeah.
And you're telling me you're fine, but I see you.
Yes.
You don't even see Ooh. You, but you're bleeding all over me. Like, right?
Oh my gosh. All of that. All of that. And I was living that. I remember my ex one time saying, I don't understand why you're not putting 100% into this. He saw something in me that I didn't see in myself. And he would say it all the time. And I never understood it, honestly, into this moment right now.
Ooh, come on.
Into this moment right now. Something he would say all the time. And I would get frustrated. I would get frustrated with him because I'm like, I am. I would say, I am. I'm doing this. I'm trying. And it was a lot of efforting, but nothing was coming from it.
Right.
It was a lot of efforting because I wasn't grounded again in understanding who I was, my purpose, my mission, my vision. I was completely disconnected. And so he saw the potential and he would be so frustrated with like, why aren't you?
Yeah.
And again, it was a disservice because I hadn't spent the time grounding myself in the beauty within.
Come on,
right
here.
Bringing it back full circle.
Yeah.
The beauty within. And the beauty within to me is really our light.
Mm.
Beauty is synonymous with light.
Come on.
It is light. And mine was so dim. I was
and it's right now, honey, because I know they can see it. Look, even the people listening on the audio version of the podcast are like, oh, I feel some light coming from my red.
Yeah.
Eric, come on.
Yes.
For
and I was
real.
Hiding it. I was hiding it. So this time in Arizona allowed me to start to shed and get rid of this social conditioning that wasn't true. It wasn't of integrity to me. And light, beauty, integrity, alignment, all of those things are synonymous.
Yeah.
All of those things live and work together. And I wasn't sharing or showing any of it.
Mm.
I was hiding a part of me because the part of me I wanted to show to the world was this identity I had created.
Yeah.
And it wasn't grounded in my light. Mm. And so the ironic thing about how I grew was I shed.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think about growing, usually means you're adding or you're things are building, right? And so you think of growth and it's getting bigger, but I got bigger. I grew by shedding.
That is so powerful.
I grew by shedding.
It is so powerful.
By letting things go. And so every morning when I was in Arizona and I was journaling, I was returning back to myself, and returning back to myself looked like allowing that thing to go, allowing this thing to drop.
Come on.
Allowing that false fake thing to release, to leave. And the shedding allowed me to get back to, it's almost like, I don't know the artist that does like the shavings. They'll take this bust and then they'll hammer at it or chisel at it until it creates the image. But they actually see the image before they create it, right?
Mind. Yeah.
In their mind.
Yeah. Yep.
And so God saw the image before it was created, right? And so I had to return back to this image God had already planted in me.
Ooh,
and I had to see
so
it, right? So I could know, okay, this piece I can let go. Or I can let go of this piece. And you start to let go, and then the image comes. Who I was started to show up, right? Because I let things go.
And what's so interesting is that, you know, I remember hearing you on one of our sisters' podcasts. You were on The Intuitive Catalyst.
Uh-huh.
And with Leilani Manulu, so it was one of our dear sisters
yes,
and friends.
Love Leilani.
Yes, absolutely. One of my besties.
Mm.
And you talked about like how you knew that you wanted like to help bring beauty to the world, for people to see their beauty.
Yes.
And I remember that story being linked back to when you were a girl. And so as you're talking about returning to the beauty within, it immediately takes me back. Like I see you in your younger self, like, I want this to be what I give to the world.
Mm.
Talk a little bit about that. What does that connection bring up for you?
Yeah. Oh, gosh. I think that little girl knew who she was before the world told her who she was.
Come on.
That little girl knew who she was, and she didn't apologize for it. It didn't matter who her friend was or who someone on TV was or someone on this stage was.
Yeah.
It was a knowing, right? And somewhere along the way, she picked up things that didn't belong to her.
Mm.
And she started carrying this heavy weight.
Yeah.
And it's heavy when you're carrying weight or carrying things that don't belong to you, other people's stuff, right? And she forgot. She forgot. And who that little girl was, you know, she saw herself as this immaculate woman who, in my own personal image, I was on stages, I was talking, you know, I always saw myself as a speaker, whether it was almost in a setting like this.
Yeah.
Or an author doing a book tour or something. I saw myself soon in front of people. Soon to come. It's prophetic. I appreciate that. And it was like a lightness, a flow, a grace, an ease. There was an ease to what I was doing in life. I did see myself married. I saw myself as a mother with children. But it was just a glorious image. And it wasn't heavy. It wasn't heavy. It wasn't weighed down by things that I think we pick up along the way. It was easy. And so when that thing or that life I was living became hard or in conflict with what I saw and what I knew and felt, I knew there was something out of alignment. There was something out of alignment. That little girl wasn't that little girl anymore. She had picked up something and picked up other things and started carrying weight that looked more like the world than what her source had shown her to be.
It's what's so powerful to me is that you talked about the word ease. You talked about the ease, and I hope for those watching that they could see you go ease, because what it speaks to for me is the embodiment of what you have determined that your life is to be.
Yeah.
You decided that you will be in full alignment with who God has purposed you to be. And you've determined that that's what you want. And you're embodying that thing. Like when you say ease, I see it, I feel it. So as we wrap, what would you tell our audience about how they can connect with their beauty within? How do they, if perhaps they can't get away to Arizona right now to go, you know, to go rent the Zen Airbnb. But what are some of the things and how are you helping people support their journey in doing that?
That's a great question. I first want to acknowledge that when I hear the word beauty, or even often when people say or acknowledge my beauty, physical beauty, I used to resist it. I used to resist it. Compliments, you know, people acknowledging it. And I realized that my resistance was almost resisting a gift God gave me. It wasn't mine. It was God flowing through me. And so I had to first be open to receive compliments, open to receive, I am divine beauty. This is a gift that God is flowing through me. It is not mine. And so I once I allowed myself to accept that, then I could operate in my gift, right? And so I think that is one of the first steps, is actually accepting who God has called you to be and acknowledging and accepting that. Another thing I did, and you said, you know, maybe everyone can't go to Arizona, but everyone can be still.
Come on.
Everyone can find time and space to be still. And that's when I feel God talks to us and really pours into us. So find time, find space to be still and really, truly, truly listen and be open to what God is saying to you. And I think that that really helps you tap into what is true to you. And that, to me, beauty is light, truth. Another word for it is refinement. Another word is refinement. Isn't that beautiful?
That is so deep.
And we talked about that. Letting go of things and shedding things that aren't true and in alignment is the refinement.
My gosh.
Yeah.
That is so good. So you know it, you know, the Remarkably Me podcast is all about helping people heal through the power of storytelling and to craft and create and live their own remarkable life. If you could close with a couple of things that people can do to create a life for them that is noteworthy, that is one they enjoy living, that they feel proud to have lived, where they're proud of the legacy that they have. What are a couple of nuggets that you would leave behind with them?
Oh gosh. You know, we talked about the ease and feeling it. I think our body lets us know, like you can feel when something is true to you.
Yeah.
And so I would invite them to honor that, like whatever feels good, like when you're doing something and it feels good to your body, whether it is, you know, engaging with people or having, you know, hosting parties at your home or being out in nature, whatever feels good to your soul and spirit, what nourishes it, do the thing.
Come on. Yes.
And not letting other things outside of you define you. Like I mentioned earlier, I was really digging for that external definition and validation of who I was when I truly just needed to go within and return back to source. And now I can show up as I am and sit and say, I am divine beauty and not shrink and hide.
Come on, divine
own
beauty.
It, you
own
know?
It. Yes.
And
so we can
it.
Understand
yes.
that it comes from the inside
it
of
does.
Us.
It does.
Because you have definitely helped me
yeah.
to embrace that.
I love it. And you are too, because you are glowing. You
Listen,
are just
so
all
are
the
you.
Energy.
Aren't we though?
I love it. I love it. I love it. So yeah, I would invite people to really connect what's true to them. Feel it, know it, don't make excuses for it, and don't try to go and find what someone else is saying you should be. You know.
Yeah, you know.
You know.
You know. The incomparable Myra Herring.
Everyone. Oh, thank you.
Thank you so much, sis, for joining me.
It's my pleasure. I love, love, love any chance I have to be in your presence.
Same. Same, same. And we'll make sure that we put in the show notes mm-hmm. how people can follow you and connect with you so that they too can continue to see what it looks like to embody the truth of who you are.
Absolutely.
Thank you for modeling it.
Yes,
I'll see you soon.
It.
Right.